welcome. Whether you meant to or not, you found Noob's Book Club. I'm Sean, noob of all trades. It has been a week since my last confession. Oh wait, no, that's not what we're doing here. I'm Sean, noob of all trades, from Two Generations Gaming, and in this series I am reading and reacting to Jurassic Park, the classic novel by Michael Crichton. As I referred to, I missed a week in this series, so I'm behind on my plan to get it done by the end of April, but I reworked the plan a little bit and hopefully it will still work out for getting to read The Poppy War and The Dragon Republic in May, June, and July so that I can read the new Dragonlance book in August when it comes up. In this episode, episode 8, we are still in the fourth iteration. I will do as I've been doing for the last couple episodes. I will read the summary from Sparks Notes. Thank you, Sparks Notes, for being there for me so that I don't have to read the summaries anymore myself. And then after reading the summary, I will give you my thoughts on the section. Fourth iteration. Inevitably, underlying instabilities begin to appear. Ian Malcolm. Tim. Tim narrowly escapes from the tree his Land Rover has landed in and finds Lex hiding in a drainpipe. Back in the lab, Wu realizes that frog DNA was used in all of the species that are reproducing. Lex. Grant finds Tim and Lex. Regis emerges from hiding. But the other, more juvenile T-Rex appears from the foliage and eats him. The others run for their lives. Control. Arnold reestablishes radio contact with Harding and company, instructing them to come back immediately. Hammond, finally informed of the technical problems and the fact that the group has not returned, is furious. Mr. Hammond was very cross. The road. Muldoon and Gennaro take Harding's Jeep out to find the tour group. They find Regis's leg near the T-Rex paddock and wrap it up in a tarp. Exploring the area, Muldoon determines that some of the tour group are still alive. They find Malcolm, who is seriously injured, and bring him back. Thank you again to Spark Notes for that summary, and now for my thoughts on the section. Body count. As mentioned in the previous episode, the time for new character introductions is over. So instead, I start with a list of the characters that died in this section, because the carnage commenced. Technically, it started last time with Nedry, but we already discussed him, and he deserves no more than that. Therefore, allow me to use this space to eulogize other deaths. I almost wrote, quote, more deserving characters, end quote, there. Then I realized who died in this chapter and his actions leading to that death. He straight up abandoned those kids in the middle of that T-Rex attack. Honestly, I can't say what I do in that situation when the shit truly hit the fan. It's easy to talk big and act brave when the giant murderous lizard chicken is just words on a page. Hell, when Liam saw Jurassic World for the first time, he freaked out and ran out of the room. So yeah, perhaps an understandable reaction. Even so, cold-blooded. I just realized that I went this entire section without mentioning this character's name. Ed Regis, coward who left two children to die, got himself mauled by a juvenile T-Rex. To his credit, he feels bad for abandoning them and tries to atone. God denies that forgiveness and sends one of his grumpiest apostles to deliver the message. I will talk more about this scene in the movie Versus episode. Also, in the attack, Malcolm got messed up so badly that they speculate he's as good as gone. Seriously, they light it on so thick that I googled if he dies in the book. No spoilers this time, but only because I want you to stick around for the rest of the series. So this one, you're going to have to spoil for yourself. Note about the science. Science takes a back seat to sensationalism. Parenthetically. Not really, but I couldn't pass up that alliteration. End parenthetical. However, there is far less mention of the science in this section. All he talks about parenthetically, and I again take credit for my words going back in time to bring an answer, end parenthetical, in regards to the science, is to explain Wu's blind spot with a sequential hermaphroditism. Wu is brilliant, and he probably encountered the phenomenon at some point. However, he focused solely on the genetics at the expense of all else. It's been a few years since I ran in those circles. I forget how singularly focused academics can be. What do? I study math. That's it. And they mean it. So again, I find myself understanding Henry Wu more and giving him a pass. Besides, the theme holds. Better investment in safeguards, and most of this never happens. What I liked least. And now for my recently discovered ability to make seamless transitions. I said last episode that this is a part of the story where I hyper-focus on specifics instead of overarching themes. I feel like this one might be a little bit of both. Okay, that transition wasn't so seamless after all. Because here's the actual segue. I hate John Hammond. I know I said it before, but it bears repeating, over and over. I also know that I'm biased, but everything leads back to him and his malfeasance. He cut costs, and then cut corners, parenthetically, also to cut costs, in parenthetical, and everything failed. Then he has the audacity to blame everyone else for those failures. He's like all of these other rich assholes. They've been told for so long that they are smarter and better than the rest of us. Parenthetical. Uh-oh, here comes the shift to the overarching theme, in parenthetical, that they actually believe it. Eventually, they start to think that they literally can do no wrong. People hang on their every word, and these quote-unquote experts in, parenthetically, maybe one field, branch out and become revered as experts in other fields in which they may have no prior experience. So you then get self-important. Douches coming out with bullshit like, quote, people just need to budget better and stop buying coffee, end quote. Okay, right. You literally could sell off one of your 7 houses or your 3 yachts to help society with those donations. But yeah, me giving up one of the few joys of my life at $5 a day will ensure that my school doesn't need to have a bake sale to pay a librarian's salary. Fuck all the way off with that. A word about Henry Wu. I considered this as my quote-unquote liked best. But as I collected my thoughts, I came up with another idea. Even so, I still wanted to talk about this development. So I give you a bonus section in this episode about a profound loss. However, that loss leads to a discovery. Epiphany? Neither? Both? I guess what I'm saying is that my optimist side ultimately shines through. I can find the good within the bad. Well, Mr. Creighton, you took away Dr. Ian Malcolm. I don't know for certain that he's a goner. Parenthetically, keeping those cards close to my chest, and parenthetical. But the progress right now is grim. So yeah, he's gone. But you gave me Henry Wu. Not a direct one-for-one trade. I mean, I already mentioned in an earlier episode that I liked Henry Wu. And, as his character develops, I like him even more. What I mean to say, though, is that I like him for similar reasons, even if the underlying rationale and motivation are different. Like Malcolm, Wu bases his conclusions and actions on evidence. That makes sense, as both are men of science. What I liked best. Okay, now that I finished my ode to Henry Wu, on to what I liked best. The dinosaurs. Yes, this section gave me enough of them that they pushed old Henry right out of the top spot. Before he accused me of being a preteen boy who never grew up, I admit, yes, there's some of that. Because seriously, how cool are dinosaurs? And the more we learn, the cooler they are. Giant lizards, parenthetically, some who fly, and parenthetical, roaming the earth? That sounds exactly like dragons. Okay, they don't have breath weapons or armored skin necessarily, but they check all the other boxes. Plus, with some modifications, I feel like breath weapons are possible. Terrible idea, and impractical, but this is preteen boy territory, and it's cool as hell, too. You think that learning that they have more in common with birds than lizards would make them less cool? That's not scary. It looks like a giant chicken. But if you just sell them in a different way, they become more cool. Man-eating giant bird lizards probably tops in 5-word combinations in the English language. If you didn't know the word dinosaur, tell me that doesn't make you want to read this book cover to cover. Cool thing that Crichton does is that he gives the dinosaurs traits that make them unique. He easily could have had unleashed an adult T-Rex on Regis. Instead, he picks a juvenile that plays with a man as a puppy plays with his chew toy. The juxtaposition of terrifying and potentially cute makes the encounter more memorable overall. We also see this with the stegosaur that Tim has to repel. The thing is dim-witted and slow. It's also huge and potentially unpredictable, so it still poses a very real threat. None of the animals feel one-dimensional, and they easily could have. I'd expect no less. I mean, he took the time to explain that the compies help with the ecosystem by breaking down the feces of the other dinosaurs. As I've said before, it's that attention to the little things that make the world he created feel alive. As a frustrated author myself, I know what a delicate balance it is to want to include those details without going overboard. So I applaud him for being able to maintain that balance, and I look forward to more of the same in the coming chapters. My final thoughts. We get everything this time around. Some character development, a grisly death of one of the mains, several other potentially dangerous encounters with the other species of dinosaurs. Meanwhile, they try to fix Nedry's sabotage back at the control center. I waited, parenthetically, mostly patiently, through the early chapters, and it paid off big time. It's so weird that it takes me so long to release new episodes, because I want to read this book, and I want to talk about it. But my time has been so limited over the last few weeks. Hopefully that changes with break, and I can get some momentum on all of the two generations gaming projects. But now back to this project at hand. I always say that I don't care about spoilers. I contend that if spoilers ruin your entertainment, it wasn't all that entertaining to begin with. While having both read and seen Jurassic Park before, several times, I still find the book suspenseful and entertaining. For me, that's the true test of a great story. If you hear it more than once, then you still enjoy it. Furthermore, when that story retains the danger and suspense, those are the best. And Jurassic Park most definitely qualifies. As always, thanks for listening. You can find us if you haven't already at www.twoguysgaming.net. We have articles. I did articles on Spawn titles and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. This week I'm going to do the DC and the Marvel. And I think I might finally get caught up on X-Men, so I can do something on that this week. Also going to do an article on Minecraft and Terraria for this week. I have the week off, so I have plenty of time to put all those things together. There's also a link to our YouTube, which has been abandoned, but I worked to record that earlier, and I will post that tomorrow. And maybe I'll put up a little bonus episode of our Sunday Funday family hike day. I've already started to do the notes for episode 9, so I will try to get that up in the next couple of days. I want to get a few episodes up so that I can get done with this book and move on to the Poppy War for May and June, and then do the Dragon Republic in June and July. I figured out a plan to do that so that I can get the new Dragonlance book done in August when it comes out, and keep the schedule that I put in the show notes the last time around. So I'll try to be back in a couple of days with that episode. I will talk to you then. Bye, guys.